tonight, Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter 7. Brother Will, if you can give my wife a text of a number just so she can tell them down there. Matthew chapter 7, and we'll read verse 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 as we get started tonight. Been talking about rightly dividing or wrongly dividing the word of truth, and so looking at different verses that sometimes have caused just some headache and heartache or just misinterpretation. And not that, again, I don't claim to know everything, and I don't think any preacher, any church does, but obviously we want to try to be right and do the best that we can see Scripture telling us. So Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1 says this, "Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." And all God's people said, Amen. Let's be seated. Father, thank you for the word tonight. I pray that you'd help us to gain understanding, gain truth and knowledge, and then, Lord, it'd be good to be in your house and around your people, around the word. And I pray that you'd accept our worship. We want to receive your word openly and let it have free course, free reign. Lord, I pray that you'd be with needs, spiritual, physical. Lord, I pray for Sister Fannin's, Gail's sister, and I ask that you'd be with, again, military people and some of the ones that are traveling overseas. We just pray that you'd be with all those details. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. People have asked me about these current events, and I don't know what's going to happen in all those scenarios, but I believe that the Bible says there'll be wars and rumors of wars. I really think a lot of that is going to be a highlight of the end times before the Lord Jesus comes. And there is some battles with Gog and Magog mentioned in Revelation Ezekiel. I think that the Ezekiel one is more important and pertinent as far as timing is concerned. But who knows? We believe that the return of Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church is imminent, which means it could happen anytime. It could happen before the Bengals win tonight. Amen? It could. It could happen. Or before they lose. That would be even better. But we believe that Jesus could come back. There's just a sound of a trumpet in between us and meeting him in the clouds. This passage is probably one of the most quoted verses of people who do not know anything about the Bible. You're judging me. And the Bible says, judge not, judge not. Well, I want to look at that and take it in context. But as well, I want you to know that when we do make judgments, the Bible encourages us here that we would have a clear view to make the judgment. As we're looking at our brother, it says that we ought to get out the beam out of our own eye before we get the mote or the small thing out of our brother's eye. It's always easier for me to see everybody else's faults than my own. I love looking through windows rather than mirrors, amen? And but I think that's human nature, that we have a tendency to push ourselves up by pushing someone else down. And you know, in Christianity, you don't have to push anyone else down to get close to Jesus Christ. You don't have to remove anyone out of their lane so that you can get close to Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing that other people's performance has no bearing on your closeness with the Lord Jesus Christ. If someone else is just loving him with all their heart, you can love him too. Someone is just living up to their fullest potential, you can do it as well. It's not a competition. It's not where someone else has to fall in the mafia so you can take their spot and get up one head closer to where the Lord Jesus is. That's not the way spirituality works. And in this passage, before we try to talk about rightly dividing, let's just make sure we look at it for us. In this passage, I know chapter 7 starts there, but if you just go back to chapter 6, verse 25, three or four times here, it tells us an interesting phrase. In verse 25, it says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your what? For your life." Verse 27, Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? In verse 26, that's not where it is. Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? And then in verse 34, take therefore no, what's it say? Thought. There's a lot of things that we ought not to be thinking about in chapter 6 at the end of it. And then it leads us right into, judge not that ye be not judged. We probably ought to take more thought about the beam in our own eye than the mote in other people's eyes. It tells us we ought to seek him first. And I've just found that if I've got my focus on him, it's a lot harder to focus on others round about me, at least in those negative terms. He said to seek and to save that which was lost. And if there's someone that may be out of the way, if I was seeking Jesus first, I smell pancakes. Can somebody say amen? Man, the kitchen is like right below here. Can everybody bow their head? No, I'm just teasing. But when we take thought of Jesus and not pancakes, we can we lose our focus on other things that are going around us. It's interesting that the judging of others, it takes precedent over self-judgment. The Bible tells us many places that if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. It tells us that in 1 Corinthians 11, 31, 32. The encouragement to judge ourselves is always precedented or before the judgment or the helping of someone else. I like that illustration on an airplane when the stewardess comes out, or the steward or whatever it is comes out and tries to give you the instructions. If we have a sea landing, I'm like, brother, if we have a sea landing, we're all done, okay? You don't need to give me instruction. It's all over but the crime, but thanks for your instruction. I'll listen. And they'll say, if cabin pressure happens to be lost and these little rubber, plastic, yellow things fall down from the above you, it says, make sure you put it on yourself before you put it on those people around you. And the idea is, if you're trying to get it on your kid and then you lose consciousness, well, then you and the kid's going to be in trouble. Besides the sea that the plane goes down into, right? But, you know, there's an illustration there that you got to make sure you get yourself able to take in oxygen and have it right before you can help somebody else take in the oxygen as well. The scripture here tells us that if we judge, if judge not that ye be not judged, and the same judgment will come back and be measured to you again. I've got four children, and I've tried to teach each of them that if you would make friends with the one below you, your life would be so much better. I mean, we probably wouldn't be able to keep control if they joined forces like that, you know. But sibling rivalry, and I guess I didn't remember a whole lot of it because my brother and sister were 10 and 13 years older than me. They got out of Dodge before I was able to fight too much with them. But it just happens, and I say, man, if you... But then this one's upset that this one's treating that one that way, and then that one treats this one the same way this one's treating that one, and it just continues to go cycle to cycle. And you can find it the same way with judgment, same way with reaping and sowing. When you sow, you're going to reap. And if you're a judgmental person and judging others, then it will come back to be measured to you again. I don't believe that Jesus is telling us we can't make judgments. I don't think that's what he's instructing here. In fact, we're going to look at some verses where all over Scripture he tells us to make judgments. I think that if I would measure it out, I can't ever know people's motives, but I can know what people have made happen in their lives. I can't tell you why somebody did something, but I can see what they've done. If I see tracks in a field, I know that someone went out. I drove by our old church the other day and just wanted to see, and all the snow was over the parking lot, and no one had plowed it. And then the next day I went, and people went in there and did pinwheels all over that, buddy. I mean, snow was everywhere. I don't know why they did it, but I can see what they did. And I remember when they used to do it in the gravel too, amen? And I remember I chased one. One time a kid went in there and started spinning gravel, and I said, you're mine. I dropped in my Honda, and I plotted in third gear and first gear, second. I think I was power shifting, trying to keep up, and I was chasing that truck. He jumped the tracks, heading over to the trailer park by the fairgrounds. I mean, jumped at sparks flying. It was like the Hazard, Dukes of Hazard. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like calling 911. I didn't call 911. I'm like, police, we got somebody that's... And they said, quit following them. I'm like, I got them. I'm on their tail. And he's like, quit. And they went back. I missed them. They lost them. But anyway, I can't tell you why they do things, but I can tell you what has been done. And when it comes to judging, I would say make sure that you keep that in your mind. When you think that you can judge someone's motives or their heart, that's a dangerous place that you're putting yourself in. Because maybe somebody will judge your heart and your motives, and then they'd be totally wrong as well. We can make judgments of what goes on. Let me just show you, for instance, this one says, judge not that you be not judged. Go with me to John chapter 7 and look at Jesus himself. John chapter 7. Verse 23. John chapter 7, verse 23. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge, what's it say? Judge righteous judgment. He tells them to do that. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? Jesus told them to judge righteous judgment. Go with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Verse 45. Jesus said, and he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Jesus is not against judgment. He didn't come to do that the first time, but he gave us the words which we would be judged by. And in Revelation, there's no problem, no question about who's going to be giving the judgment. It tells us that we're to be careful how we judge, because it'll come back. But Jesus would give us right reasons to make judgments all throughout Scripture. Go to Luke 7, 43. Luke chapter 7. I'll start in verse 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? How can you make that decision? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And then he said unto him, thou hast what? Rightly judged. Yeah, to whom more is forgiven, there's going to be more love because of that. And there's a right judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, turn there. It shows us future judgment that we're going to be a part of. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse number 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do not ye know that the saints shall judge the world, and if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to what? Right, this life. If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Not to get in the topic of the passage, but you can see that we are promised a future judgment, and so if we're going to judge the world and be a part of that, why wouldn't we be able to make judgments of things of this life? I would say the key to righteous judgments would be to make the Lord's judgments. In Psalms 119, let's just read the whole chapter a little bit here and get it covered. That's a joke. That's a bad Super Bowl joke. But Psalm 119, all throughout the passage, it mentions the judgments. And it says that I fear thy judgments are good. It tells us in Psalms 119:52, I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and I've comforted myself. I'm just going to read you some. If you want to follow along, you can, but I'm trying to preach a little faster here than normal. And at midnight I will rise to give thanks to thee because of thy righteous judgments. Psalm 119:75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Psalm 119:102, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. 106, I have sworn and will perform it that I will keep thy righteous judgments. O Lord, teach me thy judgments. 108, 120, my flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. 119:137, I can tell you that if you make a judgment based on the Word of God, the Word of God is going to be right. It gives us the authority to make righteous judgments. We're to judge ourselves in front of God and at the communion table, self-judgment. We are to find a wise person that can judge between brothers and give us some wisdom there. In Acts chapter 6, would you turn there with me? Tell me how this would ever happen if we weren't permitted and able to make judgments. Acts chapter 6, verse number 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of what? A report? Well, how'd they get that? Somebody had to judge it, I'd say. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. Yeah, great idea. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Procurus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. There had to be some judgment why they chose those fellows instead of some other fellows. There was able to make a discernment about how they were living. When the Bible says, judge not, that you be not judged, that is the farthest thing from the Word of God's intention that you cannot make any judgments when you look at things going on around you. You are to make judgments looking at things going on around you. I just try to suggest be careful of judging the motives of the people at that time. And as well, when we make those judgments, we also will receive the same judgment meet back to us. James chapter 4, turn there with me. I've often thought when someone has said, you shouldn't be judging me, I've thought to say, you'd rather me judge than God. You'd much rather me give you a judgment. I'm sure I'm not going to be nearly as harsh or as accurate in all those things as the Lord will. And I've got a biased flesh. I'm prone to give in to those things, but God never has and never will. James chapter 4, verse number 10. This really speaks back to Matthew 6 before we got to that verse of judging. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and what? Judgeth his brother. Speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Boy, the warning there is that when we judge, we're just going deeper into things that we don't belong in that position. Now, Romans chapter 14, would you turn there? Another passage that mentions this. Romans 14, verse number 8. Start there. And I would go to Romans 8 again, Dwight, but we're trying to move this thing along a little bit, okay? You were here this morning, heard that joke. Romans 14, verse 8. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So it gives us just this reminder that that's another man's servant if we're judging other brethren. That's the Lord's servant. And the Lord knows way better how to take care of his servants than you or I ever will. I don't think it's wrong to help somebody out and to bring up a concern. And, hey, I didn't realize that you know, those things, that's not what we're talking about. But the harshness and the judgmentalness, we are a New Testament. We believe in grace. I'll say amen. And sometimes that's the one most lacking thing in our lives is grace for others. We sure appreciate it from God, but we just somehow have lost it in our own dealings with other people. I don't mean to compromise. I don't mean to give in to sin or wickedness. I'm just saying that the judgmental sense is what the world despises about the church. I don't think we're supposed to appeal to the world. I think we appeal to God. Yeah. But God, I think, would have us make righteous judgments and speak the truth in love and give the law, give the word of God and make it so it's the thing between God and them, not you and them. I was talking to a young man a couple weeks ago and lived a totally different lifestyle than what God would prescribe in Scripture. And I think that he was surprised that I was willing to talk and to converse back and forth instead of just wield the Bible as a sword and chop his head off while we were in the discussion. And I said, I just tried to relate it to sin instead of the certain situation that he was living in. And I said, it's all about what God says is sin, not about what you and I think. Yeah. This is what God says. And I'll tell you what it says. You live it, you got to answer to God. You're not offending me by it. I just want to tell you how you can pass the open book test, because the answers are here. It's just a different demeanor about it. You can tell when you feel like judgment is given too harsh or too ungracefully in your direction. And I would just suggest that if we don't like it when it happens to us, we ought to be careful when we meet it out to other people. Yeah. I believe that I've had more candid conversations with people who live exactly opposite of what the Bible says to live than I have being accused of being judgmental. I don't know if I always do it correctly, but I just think, hey, let's just talk about it and don't have to feel like it's me against you. I just want to show you what God's Word says. It's what the Bible says. Judge not, that you be not judged. That James passage says, when you do it, you become the lawgiver. It's you take the place of the one who's given the law. So just be careful, humble ourselves, and be careful about it. These verses, and I'll just tell you this: someone who wants to go against the Bible and have an excuse against God, you can't do it well enough or right enough to please them. Because they made up their mind, they want an excuse, and they want to get around the authority of God. And so it's not a matter if they didn't get one that you did it wrong. No, sometimes people are just going to unbelieve, not believe, and go the other way. It doesn't mean that you did it mean-spirited or wrong. You give the truth, and then you allow it to the seed to germinate inside their heart, and then it's up to them. But I would hate for people to not get the Word of God because of the way we deliver it. And I was in college, walking around Miami University, seen a street preacher, and he used to take me to church on Wednesday nights. He'd set me up a ride after I met him. And boy, I just thought, wow, this guy is so mean-spirited. He's not won anyone. He's just turned everyone off. And he has truth. He has some right verses. But you could just see it in his eyes as he tried to street preach. I'm like, he scares me. I want to look the other way. I'm on his team. And I thought, that's not the way that we ought to represent and be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came in John 12 to give the word and not to bring judgment. And I believe that when he comes, he'll bring the judgment. We're supposed to be like John and warn people of the judgment. Preach the word. Warn them that err against themselves. And have that as our mindset, not one that we're the final judge, jury, and executioner. So, rightly dividing the word truth. This is the shortest sermon you've ever heard on a Sunday night, and not just because of those things, but I think that as we look at these things and try to understand how they're wrongly interpreted, it might even help us rightly interpret it, just trying to think on both sides of the angle. So if you get the chance, speak the truth in love. Don't worry about what people's response is to the Word of God. Just give the truth and give His judgments. If they accuse you of being judgmental, then say, well, I sure didn't mean to. I'm sure I have plenty of things I need to get out of my life, and maybe you could help me so I can help you, but I just want to see you live right and live blessed according in front of God. Amen? Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, I thank You.